Hey, welcome to the show. You are listening to the Rusik Podcast. We are a roots music podcast based out of Nashville, Tennessee, where we talk to the local music scene and beyond.
Today, we have Dylan Johnson. Dylan is a professional drummer located here in Nashville, Tennessee, and he plays for Colton Dixon.
If you are listening to this episode on Spotify or any other platform, you're going to want to head on over to our YouTube channel at Rusik Podcast. Over there, you can check out live performances with all of our guests, including Dylan. He did some great drum tracks for this episode. Subscribe over there, give us some likes, some follows. It helps us out a ton. Check it out.
Bro, and then they get into super hots, and that's a whole different world of hot sauce.
How hot do you like to go? Do you like to go like gnarly fucking?
I've done it, but it has to have flavor. That's the main thing.
Because some of them are, don't sacrifice just fuck that. Your shit up, but they don't even taste good. They gotta at least taste good.
What Brian and I found when, now we're getting really in the weeds here. What Brian and I found when we went down, when we like went into our hot sauce world, there's a certain level of heat that is, you know, naturally occurring in peppers.
Yeah.
And then what will happen is a lot of hot sauces, when they want to get that crazy level of kick, is they'll just start putting extract in.
Oh yeah.
So instead of actually putting the pepper itself, they'll just, at that point, like, you're not really adding any flavor. You're just adding that heat.
Oh my God.
That's not my thing. I like the flavor of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's gotta taste good.
Yeah.
I'll go up to like a Trinidad scorpion pepper.
Okay.
So like Birdies.
There you go.
Birdies. You want to sponsor this podcast? That garlic scorpion chili pepper sauce is insanity.
Fuck yeah.
On eggs, on everything. You can, it's just good tasting.
You know, another thing, I like breakfast food. I fuck with breakfast food. I might be able to do that forever. It's just like
and
eggs
hot sauce
and bacon.
Goes with
Perfectly.
Hot sauce and eggs is a god tier combo.
I'm trying to think, when did you get to Nashville?
So we're going on year five. I've been going back and forth for a little over 10 years. And then there was kind of a lull in the middle of that. And I did 50-50 in 2019, to kind of get a feel for the town, see if I really wanted to move here.
Where were you jumping back and forth from?
So I'm originally from Kansas City. And sorry, everybody, if my voice cracks, I rode tons of roller coasters yesterday and screamed my ass off. So I promise you, I'm not going through puberty right now. We're all good. PBR sponsor this podcast.
There you go. we're going to end this podcast with a fucking sponsorship. Yeah, that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah, that's the goal now. Sponsorships.
That's so funny.
I'm originally from Kansas City. I love Kansas City. It's a really cool place. Did the corporate scene for about 10 years. So right out of high school, I started playing with a corporate band. He worked his way up from bars all the way up to like multi-million dollar weddings. And I've never seen that much. I didn't know that existed.
Yeah.
That kind of money. So, you know, the suit and tie, 4.5 hour gigs, there's nothing wrong with that. I like love doing those, back then, but I really wanted to just work for artists, and songwriters mainly in town. So that was kind of my mission when I came into town in 2020 of all years.
Wow. Which that's a fun time to transition. Yeah.
We don't need to talk about that at all. We know what happened in 2020 or whatever, but, it was pretty wild. Just started, you know, playing around town and all that jazz, and then got hooked up, with the artist that I'm with right now, Colton Dixon, and been doing that for what, we're going on 4 years, I think?
Because you've been like a road dog recently, man. You've been going to town. How has that been, spending that much? Because I don't even know, what's your schedule been like? How much time are you spending on the road?
So, on average, every year, and I've done the averages from the last time, or from the time I've been in Nashville, it's anywhere from 125 to 150 dates a year.
Damn,
that's a lot.
Which is pretty wild, depending on the year. So the first couple of years, like I think it was like 17 artists the first official year that, you know, music was opened up again and we were touring. And then the year after that, it was 14 bands, I think, and then doing lessons. Yeah. And that's how we met, right? Yeah. And yeah, so I was working like 7 days a week doing that. And it's just me, you know? Mm-hmm. So I don't have a dog. I don't have a wife. I don't have kids. It's just me. So I can take a little bit more risk if I want to, which I definitely did in the beginning. You know, I was like, man, I don't really want to do the cover stuff.
Yeah.
You know? There's no offense to anybody who plays cover music.
It sounds like
I just did it forever. I've already done it.
Yeah, and that's something, I mean, for people outside of the music world, that's a big decision to make.
Yeah.
Truly. Like if you're a musician, making that definitive decision, that's not an easy decision to come to. Yeah.
But it's all I've ever known.
Yeah.
And that's what I've always wanted to do. You can look at my school papers from when I was in first, second grade, and it says, what are you going to do? And besides one of them, which I was like, oh, I'm going to be a Kansas City Royal baseball player. You know, all of them talked about playing music. Uh-huh. And so I started playing drums at a very, very young age. And that's always been the goal. It always has. You can ask my parents and my family and my friends. That's always been it. And I don't know why I'm wired that way. I have no idea. Sometimes I think I'm crazy for,
you definitely are. Yeah.
But I enjoy it. I really do.
Every person we've had in this seat is crazy for that reason. You know, maybe various other reasons as well, but yeah.
I love what I do. I do what I love to do. That's so beautiful. Rad. I love that. You know, how many times can I say the word love? Anyway.
No, good. It's one we should use more.
Yeah, but I'm very grateful. Very grateful.
That's killer. What was the, because I know you're from Kansas City originally. I didn't know if you had kind of transitioned anywhere else, like in between here or between there and here. But like, what was the music scene like at that point in Kansas City?
Yeah, so Kansas City is where I pretty much landed home base at fourth grade. So before all that, we moved a lot. I lived in Salt Lake City, Casper, Wyoming, Shawnee, Oklahoma, like Inglewood, California, Ventura, all over the place. Mm-hmm. Which was super rad as a kid to experience that. But it made school very hard for me. And so that's why I gravitated mm-hmm. towards music. What was your question again? I'm so sorry.
No, I was curious what it was like in Kansas City.
Squirrel syndrome. Squirrel syndrome. I have squirrel syndrome.
Again, having, dealing with musicians here, you get accustomed to it.
Oh, the music scene there.
Yeah, what was the music scene like out there?
So I grew up in it. That's where I was getting to. So as soon as I could play music, I wanted to play with other musicians, right? Mm-hmm. So I grew up in the local KC music scene. Growing up, it was like butt rock stuff, mm-hmm. or at least that's what I call butt rock. I don't have a problem with butt rock, you know, but the Midwest loves Nickelback and Shinedown and Pyro and Flames.
Oh, just a huge Nickelback fan.
Distorted guitars, you know. So I grew up as a rocker, you know. I loved, all the Zeppelins, and Van Halen is the reason why I play music, and I linked up with a guy. But growing up in it, it grew. It definitely grew and turned more actually into an alternative indie scene is what I started getting into. There was quite a few singer-songwriters that were there for a while and a lot of hired guns that are actually out here now. But it kind of fizzled out, in all honesty. I mean, I'm not trying to talk bad about Kansas City now, but it definitely, like, the music scene doesn't seem to be as strong. Mm-hmm. Like, I used to play at this club called The Rhino over there all the time, and it was like what it is here. You would have singer-songwriters, and you'd play, like, three songs. Mm-hmm. You could do them acoustic or full band. And that's what I gravitated towards. And that's kind of what started this whole journey of doing this in Nashville. But I really enjoyed it. It's a great place to learn and to do gigs. There's a lot of corporate bands. There's a lot of work out there. And you can really hone your craft and, all the stuff. Play with Click Tracks before coming here. Ableton, all kinds of stuff. And then there's a big church scene there too, because some of the biggest churches, like Church of the Resurrection, all that stuff is out there. So I was bebopping between like 13 different churches.
That's awesome.
And there's a huge scene out there for that in the Midwest. So great place. I love Kansas City. I didn't leave it because I hated it. but I just wanted to grow a little bit more. I'm always going to be a student, and growing here, it's so exponential. Like you're just like... In Kansas City, it's like, oh, you got a couple of weeks to a couple of months to get a song done. Well, here it's like, hey, bro, I kind of need those stems in a couple of days, bro.
Yeah.
Which I love that, so it pushes me to be a better person and a better player here. So yeah, that's kind of
that's killer.
Kansas City, if that answers the question.
Oh yeah, I mean it's. I'm just always curious to hear what people, where people come from, and because that leap from wherever that might be to Nashville can be so large for people. I mean, because it's such a, you know, little fish in a big pond thing out here.
Oh yeah. I don't know, dude. It's wild what has happened in the last couple of years. I have to pinch myself a lot of the times. But I think Kansas City really did prep me, though. But it's about getting with the right people, just like with anything. Yeah. But you have a little bit more of a chance to fail out there, which that is a good thing.
Yeah, you kind of need that. More of that. You need that for sure.
We need more of that. We don't have as many studios that are like, you know, it used to be back in the day. Like, it was always that second or third album with bands, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, we're going to help develop you. And then it's like, banger, right?
Yeah.
That second or third album. And, you know, they developed a sound.
Yeah.
And all that.
And, you need to have that time.
Yeah. Or whatever. But, yeah. So it's a great place to get your feet wet and then, you know, talk to the big dudes over there who you really trust and get their honest opinion about stuff. So,
what's one thing I'm curious about with you, too? What's the day-to-day like when you're on the road with those guys?
So with Colton?
Yeah.
So Weekend Warrior.
Because you guys are playing some are playing some cool fucking gigs.
So I'm in the CCM world, all right? Christian contemporary music. I do country stuff too, but came into town, moved in with some CCM cats, and that's how that kind of started, right? As far as tour life, it's Weekend Warrior stuff, and then there's like a spring and fall tour.
That's so nice.
And it's extremely consistent. Like during the dead months here, you know, kind of November starting to get in there, and then to January, February, right? Which honestly, probably March is when tours actually start in country music, but there's not as much of a lull, right?
Because
there's
really
tons
nice.
Of churches and everything that you can play at. Christmas is obviously a huge thing, so you can do Christmas tours. So in my case, I can't speak for everybody else, but it's been very, very consistent, and I've been treated very well. As far as being on the road, we do, you know, a bus. Like we did the Winter Jam tour, which was 38 dates in arenas across the country, and you just, it's, you know, Wednesday night, you get on a bus, you're out for 4 days, and you get back Monday morning, you have like 2.5 days to recover, you know, and you're back out at on the road. But for me, it's easy because it's just me, right? So that makes everything really easy. Like, we decided that we wanted to stay a couple extra days in Orlando just to have fun after
You don't need to worry about
a gig,
know,
you know, not everybody can do that. So
that's awesome.
It's easier on me than other people. But yeah, it's Weekend Warrior stuff, man. Like, you're out pretty much Thursday through Sunday.
That's nice. Yeah. That's ideal in a lot of ways.
It's nice.
If that's your lifestyle, you know,
it's like a little bit more predictable. Yeah.
Yeah. That is nice. Cause that's part of the, I don't want to say problem, but I think that's part of the difficulty with being a musician oftentimes is when you don't have that regularity, it can really fuck with so many different elements of your life.
Oh, absolutely.
Because, I mean, not all of us are like that, but I know at least for myself, I'm such a creature of habit, and I think a lot of us are, that when you don't have that ability to even begin to solidify a routine, that can fuck with a lot of different elements of life besides just,
absolutely,
you know, your sleep or whatever it might be, you know?
Well, your life becomes the road.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's weird. So we did that whole thing for 2.5-3 months, right? 38 shows. And I get back and it's the first time that we've had like an actual lull of like a month. And so the first couple of days you're like, man, I'm just going to relax. This is nice. And then you get to the point you're like, what do I do with my life? Which sounds so lazy. It really does.
Well, no, it's like,
you just went out for 3 months and went all out. You went all out. And by the end of it, it's nice to be like, you're like, okay, we saw it through, but you are exhausted, absolutely exhausted. So I've actually had to learn to be okay with like, oh, no, you need to rest. But I also have learned that I have to be very intentional with my time. I'm a guy that actually does better with the hustle because people like, I'm like, hey, you need me here at this time, let's do it. And that I just thrive off that. Now, if I'm by myself, I'm going to practice, I'm going to do my stuff, But man, at my core, to some degree, I am a lazy dumbass, you know?
I think when you have other people like kind of putting it on you, it's a lot easier to stay disciplined because you know you have shit to do. And
yeah, accountability. Whereas, that's what I mean.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, whereas if you just leave it up to yourself, like you're going to.
Yeah,
but I overdid it, and then I worked too much.
It's like anything; it's a balancing act.
Yeah, it's wild.
But I also feel I find that, and I come at this from like a songwriter perspective, right? There are a lot of people who are, if that is your life, where you are just constantly on the road, if you're not consciously trying to take that time to maybe not decompress, but to have that regularity, right? To have that routine. And people can do that while they're on the road, right? Mm-hmm. But if you don't have that regularity, I find it can be very difficult for people to focus and to have that creative spark there, right? Mm-hmm. Because you're just kind of lost in the haphazard craziness of the thing And again, you can find that routine, you can find that consistency in a crazy schedule, right? Mm. But there needs to be that regularity at play.
Absolutely.
And then it's like through that, mundane regularity that you can be creative. Like to me, I always think of David Lynch had a very good thing about this where he would eat the same thing for lunch every fucking day forever because he's like, it seems counterintuitive when you think of very creative people like him. Mm. Well, like, you would think that here's this person just kind of like, just living this insane life where, everything's off the walls and bonkers and bizarre all the time. It's like, no, like you need to have this really, really controlled structure. And then that allows you the freedom to be able to sort of open your mind and go to these strange places.
Yeah.
And I think that there is real creative truth in that for whatever it is you're doing, whether you're a songwriter or a drummer or, a violinist or whatever it might be. I think having that structure, however busy that structure may be, that you can then work out of is really, it's definitely a good pattern for success.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, being on the road has taught me a lot of patience. First and foremost, you got to be flexible. But having...
Hurry up and wait.
Hurry up and wait, man. That is the name of the game. I don't get paid to play drums, bro. I don't. I get paid to wait. That's what I get paid for. But you have to structure it a certain way. There's a lot of guys who are very intentional with their time when they're out on the road, and there's others who aren't. I think most people are going to have that time of, I don't want to speak for other people, but maybe loneliness or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, and you're always inside, bro, like in a bus or in a venue. So a lot of guys, golf for them actually is very healthy, even though their wives are like, what, you're golfing so much? She's like, no, it's like we're outside and we're away from all of this craziness.
Yeah, it is a nice little break from the world.
It really is.
Just to like be able to focus on one thing and tune everything else out. Yeah. I feel like you got to have something.
It's also like a break to enjoy the world.
Yeah.
You know what
I
mean? Like it's one of those things where you can really, like you're saying, really focus on the act of the thing whilst also enjoying the fact that you get to be out.
Yeah.
You're not stuck in a bus. You're not stuck in
this beautiful outside.
Exactly. Like it's kind of rare in that regard where you have that ability to be so singularly focused on the task at hand, whilst also just being able to have a cigar or, crack open a drink and just be out amongst.
And just be.
Yeah, exactly.
And just be.
Yeah. How's the golf experience been recently?
I got bit by the bug. Dude, golf put a bad taste in my mouth because I played so many country clubs and just like Karen Central.
We golf for me, but continue.
So I budget golf. I like the mom and pop, like little golf course.
Well, it's nice because here in around Nashville, there's so many cheap places to play, like $35 for 18 holes. And
a cart with it and a buckle of balls and everything. Yeah.
Where do you go?
So I've been going to Pebblebrook a lot.
Okay, I don't think I've been there.
Which is over towards like Jolton Greenbrier. It's about 25 minutes probably.
Well, let's check Nashville National. You ever been there?
I've been there once.
That's usually my go-to. But sick. I got to check out Pebblebrook.
Pebblebrook, the greens are really nice there. Okay. I mean, you can definitely tell that they put the money into the course.
Nice.
Rather than all the other foo-foo stuff that I don't really care about.
Yeah.
But yeah, I got bit by the bug. You know, dollar signs with golf. Mm-hmm. I took my dad out last week, and just we've lost so many damn balls, like just chucking them into the fucking woods.
I usually find enough just in the woods that I never have to buy any. I just make sure I do a little scavenging while I'm out there.
Yeah, not this go around, bro. We found them and they went back into the lagoon. But yeah, golf's been great. Been really enjoying that. I disc golf too, and I fish. So I'm an outdoorsy kind of guy.
Yeah, no, you're a big fisherman.
Yeah, I love fishing, bro. Yeah.
I can never get into fishing. It's just too much waiting around.
Yeah, but that's the fun of it, though, dude. That's it's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I
could probably benefit from like slowing down like that, but.
Right. Yeah. I'm a sport fisherman, so like I'm bebop around. Like if I ain't catching fish in one spot, I ain't the guy to just like put out a line and like wait for that big catfish or whatever. I'm going for the ones who want to swipe at it, and I want a fight, bro.
Yeah, you know?
Like let's go. But yeah, the fishing, dude, I can go on and on down that rabbit hole, but,
yeah. What got you into fishing? Is that something you've always done?
So I've done it a little bit, like, you know, before I moved to Nashville, but my good friend, David Nicaris, got me into it. 2020 hit, obviously. Mm-hmm. And there was no gigs. So I had a lot of time on my hands because I just moved to town. Well, you know, 2 weeks
before the
world ended. Yeah, welcome, Dylan. You're here, and there's nothing for you right now. Even though it's here, it's here. You know.
Yeah.
But no, he started taking me out, showing me all these beautiful spots, and it was a great escape. So that's what kind of got me into it. So, David, thank you.
That's beautiful. That's really nice.
You want another beer?
I'm good, man. Thank you.
Can you grab me one of these guys?
Actually, I'll do a Topo Chico.
Oh, fuck yeah. Yeah, I think it's so important to have...
thank you all.
It's so important to have other shit like that to do in life. Don't get me wrong. I think having that attention on one singular thing is huge. And being able to set aside, thank you, the time to get truly good at something is really important.
Yeah. But being a rookie at it, though, it's the same thing with an instrument.
Exactly, because it's you're learning the skills of getting better at something.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's why, like, with disc golf, I don't practice as much because I want to go out and suck. Yeah. I really do, you know, because that was a couple that I do really well. I'm like, oh, yeah. Okay. And, yeah, it's the same thing, man. Yeah, it really is.
This is something I tell my kids a lot at work, but it's like the skill of learning is a skill in and of itself.
Absolutely.
And a lot of people do not take the time and attention to put towards just the skill of learning something.
No, to learn.
And which is strange.
Get good at anything.
Yeah.
And it'll, like, I find so much of, like, stuff I learn from, like, you know, when I improve in golfing, and then, like, I also skateboard. That's the other thing I put a lot of effort into.
Brian's a big skateboarder.
And, like,
love that.
So much what I learned opens up new doors for me in music because, like, every lesson you learn is applicable to another thing.
Oh, absolutely.
And kind of doing it at a different angle, no matter what you're doing, you kind of, like, find a new perspective that you wouldn't have learned just trying to get good at music.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
especially golf. I've been learning tons about.
Yeah, I haven't been out with you in a little bit. We gotta do some. Now that it's the summer, let's fucking go.
Go Tuesday,
man. Golf. You can be great one day, and the next day you just suck so bad.
It is so hard to be consistent.
Like the patience factor, and it's only against yourself. That's what's interesting about it.
For me, right? I bounce between like one day I'll be like nailing all my drives, and my short game will suck, and then I'll practice my short game. Like a lot, and then I'm, you know, chipping and putting super good, and then I can't drive all of a sudden.
Yep.
And they never both happen at the same time.
You can never have
that. The other thing that's really nice about golf, and this is why sooner or later I might, one day I know I'll be one of those fucking people too. Because I love doing it. Like when Brian and I go out, I always love doing it. I have a good time. But the thing that's really nice about golf as well is it's something you can do into old age.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not a hugely physical thing.
Yeah.
Like for me, the thing I do outside of music really more than anything is jujitsu. And I love jujitsu, but it's one of those things where, you know, yes, you could, there are people who commit their entire lives to jujitsu, but it fucks with your body. I mean, it's so, the wear and tear is so severe that like, it really does have an effect on your physicality where, golf is so fucking nice because there's none of that.
You
can be old as fuck and people just get better and better and better. I mean,
that's
I just think that's the reason
I've gotten into it too, because like I skateboard a lot, but like it's already hurting a lot more than it used to. And I don't know how many years. I maybe got like 10 more years left of that, and then I'm gonna have to stop. So like, golf is like one of those things. Like, oh, dude, I could do this until I'm 80.
I wanted to be a skateboarder so bad. Like I wanted when I was a kid, like, oh yeah, Tony Hawk pro skater. I was like, I'm going to be a skateboarder. Yeah, dude, I can totally do this. And then I fell down a couple of times. I was like, oh, this hurts. This really hurts.
It hurts.
Yeah, Brian will show up.
It's a very painful thing to try to get good at.
But
honestly, that's kind of like the beauty of it.
Yeah.
Like when you see someone who's super good on a skateboard, like they went through serious pain and literally shed blood to get to that level of skill. And it's like, that's kind of just part of the beauty.
And
of
I watch all them videos online of them just eating it, bro.
Dude, that's what I love
over
about.
And over again. And then they'll get it.
Exactly. And it's one of those things that I just, once you see the pattern in one element of life, it opens up to literally everything else. Like there's, whether it's skateboarding or jujitsu or golf, when you see someone who is incredibly competent at something, if you have gotten good at anything in life,
you realize how good that person is
in any facet of anything in life. Like if when you start jujitsu, you can't like you could have someone who is 100 pounds lighter than you just hold you down on the ground forever. And you're like, you feel like a fucking idiot. You're like, what? Like, what? Like, what is going on? Right? And then
Uncle.
It's like, and like, and that I think that same idea is true in everything. And when you get good at something, and you can then recognize what it takes to get good in other things, it sounds like kind of hippy dippy, but it just makes life so much more beautiful too. Because whether you're looking at someone preparing food in a restaurant or whether whatever it might be, you have such a greater appreciation for the blood, sweat, and tears, and time. Most importantly, the time that goes into getting confident at literally anything. Yeah,
I went to Bourbon Steak the other day, bro, and you take one bite, and you can it's there, bro. You know that these people are like experts at what they do, and it's inspiring. Even eating food can be inspiring.
Yeah, 100%.
It's amazing. Yeah, good food is like,
oh my god,
that is like one of the most beautiful art forms. Is
absolutely,
like,
it is an art form. It really 100%, is.
Yeah,
but yeah, I mean, people all want to be an expert in something, right? I think that's the main thing. That's why I find like school is weird, that they want to make you super well-rounded, right?
Yeah.
That's what I had a problem with in school. It's like, I know what I'm going
to
do,
bro. They should teach you to find what you're going to do and then be like, okay, go all in on that rather than like...
And to me, it's like, I think like anything, there's a balance, but I've also found in life that I have my handful of things, and Brian and I talk about this a lot. I have my handful of things that I love doing with my time, because you only have so many hours in the day.
Absolutely.
Right. And it's like, okay, I have my 6 things in life that I love committing myself to, and that I'm in various levels of my journey with, right? And it's not to say that, like, you know, something else can't come along, like golf or whatever it might be, and you just fall in love with it and that becomes your new thing. Like, that's great, and you always have to be open to that. But to me, it's always like this, we've had this conversation before, like, okay, I think golf is great, but do I like it more than these 6 things?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can't take something else on. And it's like, it's not because like, oh, you know, life is finite or there's this, you know, horrible sense of losing time. It's just, I'm so in love with these other things that if I only have this much time, I want to be able to put it towards the things that I really am passionate about getting half decent at.
Dude, we're getting older and wiser. That's what it is, man.
Some of us are just getting older.
That's really what it is, bro. Getting older. you start to realize your time is extremely valuable.
When did you start drumming?
My parents, I mean, say when I was in diapers, there's photos of me.
That's awesome.
It like sticks in my diaper. My grandpa, oh, there it is. My grandpa, he played drums forever. And so there was always a kit there. And then therefore my dad played, and then my uncle played a little bit, even though my uncle went more down like the audio route. Mm-hmm. So there was always drums in the house, always. I actually thinking about it now, I think probably through my entire existence of my life, there has been a drum kit in a room next to me.
Nice.
Actually, that's pretty wild.
Yeah.
My first memory of playing though was when I was a third grader in Casper, Wyoming. I was getting bullied a little bit. Everybody didn't like the new kid. I thought it was going to be really cool, and my name was going to be DJ. Dylan Johnson, no, I'm DJ.
You got two good letters, I gotta say.
Unless I am a DJ, and then it's DJ, and you're like,
That's a little odd. Yeah,
that doesn't work. It was in Casper, Wyoming. Remember, I mean, in the basement, it was at CB. There was a CB kit and a Pearl Export, and my dad had the boombox down there and had all of his CDs. Van Halen, I heard Van Halen, and I was like, what in the world is this? And then I put Phil Collins in, and I'm like, what in the world is this? You know, and you just go down the rabbit hole of music. I fell in love with listening to music first. My mom was a huge part of that. She can't play or sing a lick, but my mom knows good music. She really does. And so on those car rides back and forth between Kansas City, when we come see the family, that's where it diversified. Mm-hmm. You know, she had Train, the Dixie Chicks, Shania Twain, Led Zeppelin. It went all over the place. John Mayer, Heavier Things was there. Still love that record. I was like, man, like music, there's so much of it. There's different genres and everything. So I would put one of them in, and I'd sit down at the kit, and I just listen. I'm like, how in the world how do you do that? And so I was just, I didn't know it at the time, but I was training my ear first, right? There's a lot of people, it's backwards, right? They learn music and how to read it and everything, but they don't listen in the beginning, right? It's like, you know, either you listen first or you find out, oh, I need to be listening after, mm-hmm. right? It's not technically all about the theory aspect of it, right? There's certain things that we can write on paper, but they don't feel that way, you know?
And I think if you get the part in your ears first, the rest of it comes so much easier.
I agree. And I've taught kids before who have musically inclined families, and they just feel music in a different way a lot of the times. Not every time, but I do feel like as far as groove and pocket, there is a little bit more of like tempo to it. Like this is where we fall into, right? Rather than, oh, what is tempo and, you know, what is a click
track?
And
it's also kind of going back to what we were talking about earlier, just doing the thing is so important.
Yeah.
Like when I started playing guitar, I took lessons for several years when I was younger. And you know, just kind of against my will, you know what I mean? Cause I'd played guitar for a little while and just didn't really care. And then when I started playing with other kids, I actually played at School of Rock in SoCal.
No, I did. And I did too.
Hell yeah.
Not SoCal.
Me too, actually.
Yeah, there you go.
Woo! Yeah! Fly by night!
And my guitar teacher, Tom Mitchell, who I'm still friends with to this day, I loved the way that he taught us, because we would work on things in our lessons, but when it came time to learn songs for shows, he'd be like, okay, just go learn it.
Yeah.
Use yours, figure it out. And I will never forget being a kid, you know, I was 12 years old, mm-hmm. and you know, I'd learned songs before, but you know, people always kind of hold your hand through things. Yeah. Like, this is what's going on here. And then you just sit down with a recording and be like, okay,
like figure it out.
That is,
Test some things.
Yeah, and to be a little kid and to have that experience of, okay, I'm just going to figure this shit out and we're going to see what happens is huge. I
mean,
you need that. You need to be blindfolded in a dark room to figure that out.
Yeah.
And like, it's so important, because that's so many people skip that step in their musical journey for whatever reason, and they have to backtrack to it.
Yeah.
I love it. I just love that if you're, and that's the way that I, you know, that's the way that I teach to this day. I mean, it's not always the most fun thing if you're the student because it can't, you know, and
it's
obviously
the harder way to do it too.
It's definitely the harder way to do it.
Long run, but, way more beneficial.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, fantastic. It's the classic, you know, give a man a fish, blah, 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 however the phrase goes. But
dude, with a couple of exercises, like, and I will admit, drums as far as rhythm is very demanding. Right.
Oh yeah.
Like
yeah.
It's so crucial that you feel pocket, but with just even a couple of exercises, just to get time, just to feel time, is huge. Like with me, I grew up, I had a very balanced music education. I fell in love with music before I even knew what chords or an eighth note and all that was. Right. And then I get into, you know, school band and I'm like, what in the world is all this? There's like, you know, xylophones and vibes and all kinds of stuff, which I love doing. I wish I could afford a nice vibe set, in all honesty. Like that would be sick. It'd be like Gary Burton in this town, man, which I'm not comparing myself to Gary Burton at all. He's a legend.
I think you just did a little bit, Noska.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. But mine was balance. I fell in love with it. And then I started playing with my boy Kyle in Kansas City, which he was like an Eddie Van Halen prodigy. And we just started making music and we immediately started a band. That was the very first thing.
That's
that
the
we
way
did.
To do it. Make a band.
And then I was like, well, man, like Kyle's really ripping, man. I got to keep up. Right. Cause like out of that, I was the weak link out of those two. Cause Kyle is just so incredible at playing. He just, when I tell you he played Eruption note for note at our sixth grade talent show, I'm not kidding. The dude is a savage. And so like I would listen to these records. I'm like, I've tried here to listen. I don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. So my parents got me into lessons, with Dr. Dennis G. Rogers. He was a professor, a doctorate in music education, all kinds of stuff in percussion studies at a college. And my dad actually took lessons from him for a while. So, but he, man, one of the greatest human beings to ever walk the face of this earth, taught me so, so much. But we, like, he was a drum set guy like me, right? At his core, he was a drum set guy. Mm-hmm. But he was like, hey, like in band and all this stuff, like you need to know how to do these things. And he showed me a paradiddle, like a lot of people. And I'm like, you know, I was like, that's what that is. All that you did. Like, and I do it with my students. I'm like, look, I'm going to play just paradiddles. That's all I'm going to play. And I promise you that that's all that I'm doing. That's it. And I'll just move and bebop around a kit, you know? But he showed me that. And so that was made me like fall in love with actually learning music, right? Because it's like, oh, I want to be able to do that. So I didn't know it at the time, but I was having a very like educational experience that was extremely fun. But that kept accountability every week that, hey, you need to learn these things and all that. And Dennis always encouraged me to take those things and experiment on a kit. Mm-hmm. He was a pro at like, hey, this, he's like, I can tell that you're really like in love with this aspect of the percussion world. So let's do it. And so I was, you know, I was taken from a college professor the whole time. I had no idea. And I was in a really good music program for high school and had no idea it's, you know, that it was that way. So I learned a lot. And then I took music theory lessons to get on piano. Cause I was like, man, I really like this songwriting thing. Cause all of my buddies were songwriters and I was like, I need to be able to communicate with these guys. Hmm. Right. At least I don't need to be able to play it note for note, but I need to be able to communicate with
y'all. That's so huge though, to have that understanding because, you know, and there are musicians who want to be technical and have skill for the sake of the technicality of the skill. And there are musicians who, and there's obviously crosses between these things, but then there are people who want to serve the songs.
Yeah.
And you know, you're obviously a musician who always wants to serve the song.
I would hope so.
Yeah. And, you know? But I think having, even at that age, to be able to recognize, okay, this is, there's something here that's going to allow me to better connect with the musicians I'm playing with. That's huge. Cause that's such a, that's, not to say that there's musicians and there's drummers, but a lot of times it can feel that way in the music world sometimes. When
And that
you could say the same thing about all kinds of things. You could say the same thing with guitar players. There are people who just want to learn
But I think it's more or less the same thing, but I think some people tie it into the other thing and some people don't.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean, as a, like, now a professional musician doing it for a living, how much do you still practice, like, the technical rudimentary side of things?
Oh, I still do it every day. I'll wake up and I practice on a pad for about 45 minutes. We were talking about, like, kind of, you know, being on the road and how do you schedule all that? Like, I try to keep consistency to it.
Yeah.
And sometimes I like, this is a new thing I should add too. Because I was doing merchandise as well, so I didn't have any time when I was on the road. So I just practiced.
Yeah, I remember you just like driving shit back.
Yeah. Oh my God, dude. Which I was super grateful to do that. I loved every minute of it. But it is nice to just be a player and to just, you know, set up my instrument and do that. But yeah, I'll do warm up stuff, like the stuff that I teach my kids, right? Which I'm not teaching right now, but the stuff that I teach my kiddos or students, I practice. I do it.
Nice.
Right. Just like simplistic exercises. And it's not because it's like easy to do. It's more I need to be clear up here. Right.
Yeah.
Like I need to know where a stab on the E of two is. Right. And really punch that in. Right. So I'll do limb interdependence exercises that do it with all limbs. Right.
Yeah.
And it could be the most monotonous thing. But the whole point is I'm going to apply that into my playing. Mark Giuliana had a clinic here, and he gave a great example. So this is not me, this is him. But he's like, just imagine this table right here, right? Okay, and you're sitting, say that the drum set's right here, right? And I'm sitting here. Mm-hmm. He's like, all the stuff that you're comfortable with, you just pick up off the table, bro. Like, it's just easy, and it's there, and you can do it. But if I need to get over here, he's like, bro, we need to, like, get those things, like, and, like, move them closer over. So, and then, you know, after practicing pad exercises and things of that, that's when I go into that realm. It's like, what do I suck at? Which I suck at a lot, okay? I'm not a virtuoso. I'm not, like, a soloist or whatever. I'm that singer-songwriter guy that loves to... It's more about the curiosity and trying to find what the part needs to be, right? It's like, you know... like the boys in my band can attest to this. Like I'm a run throughs guy. It's like, give me five run throughs. I know where the stab is, right? I'm searching for what it needs to be though. What's the tone? Does it need to be a hi-hat? Does it need to be, you know, a floor tom? Does there need to be anything? Right. Which some people, like, I will admit, like, you know, like, oh, less is more. I don't believe that either though. Like, I don't like, I think more is more too. You know, on that, that's just what I like to do. I like doing the splat boom, Debbie boom thing, man. That's, I love doing that stuff. Like, you know, Chris McHugh is pretty much why I was like, man, Nashville sounds really nice because I love those parts and his playing with Keith Urban, as many of other people do, you know? And then put a little bit of Matt Chamberlain in there. That's what I want to do. I'm not anywhere close to those dudes. But yeah, put that left hand of Matt Chamberlain in there. Sarah Bareilles, Little Voice, bro. Have you listened to that record?
I have not.
That's the record that made me like absolutely obsessive about pretty much what I'm doing right now, though. Like the ghost notes and everything and the sauce that Matt Chamberlain lays on that record. I was like, yep, that's it.
That's one thing I've been thinking about a lot about lately, even on guitar, is like ghost notes are everything.
Bro, it makes
the
it
subtle
fun.
Little things you can barely hear. That's what like separates like the really good guy from the
men from the boys right there.
Exactly.
Dude, look at drummers, man. Like all those great drummers. Look at that left hand. Keith Carlock, great example. Like with Steely Dan. Like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Like he's not playing exactly what Bernard Purdy plays. It's inspired by it. And I love that he's adding a little bit more ghost notes and all that kind of stuff. It's saucy, bro.
Yeah.
That's the stuff that I love.
That's where the
I love
the
that
funk
kind of
really
stuff.
Comes in.
Man. Mm-hmm. Like I'm not the dude who wants excuse me to have like I still practice and I want to have gospel chops. But, you know, and if it needs it, it needs it. But I'm never going to be the dude that comes in and does that, you know? I stick to my lane and what I love to do. I think that's what makes music beautiful, is that everybody is doing something different. you know?
Yeah.
I'm inspired by a lot of different players and everything, but that whole thing of like the competition aspect, you know, it's just, it's not there with me. It's like, I do what I do, you know, and I want to get better and hopefully I keep myself accountable and you keep me accountable and let's have fun while we're doing this, you know?
Yeah.
Cause like Nashville here, like, you know, there's that business aspect into town and yeah, I've seen some people
naturally get competitive.
The Nashville, there's a, obviously there are a great many things in Nashville that I love about the music scene here.
Oh, absolutely.
That's not one of them. And it is something that,
but you're naturally going to get that.
Absolutely.
In an environment where there's like thousands of people all trying to compete to like
absolutely.
Do this.
In my experience though, most of the cats that I've come across though aren't that way.
For sure.
I mean, some of them, I didn't even know they played music until they told me.
Mm-hmm. That's always a nice little surprise, you know? Isn't it?
Yeah. And I'm like, great, cool. That's dope. I love it.
It's like, I whenever that occurs in life, especially in a place in Nashville where it happens more than you think, it's like, I imagine it's like, speaking another language, like being forced to speak another language. And then someone speaks your like mother tongue and you're like, oh my God, you speak this too. Fuck yeah. Yeah, let's go.
Let's go. Let's start a band.
Exactly. Like that. Yeah. It's a nice feeling of excitement. You're like, oh, okay, cool. You're my kind of person.
Yeah.
You know, you get it.
Yeah, exactly. Not everybody is supposed to get along with everybody. Not every musician's going to get along. I find like more on social media, people are being like, you know, competitive or whatever. I'm like,
yeah,
like, I don't care, man. Like, yeah, I really don't care.
There is that whole like side of musicians that kind of almost treat like playing their instrument as their sport.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And they're
like,
really good at it. I will not take anything away from those people. They have worked extremely hard.
Oh, they're really good at it. They're just going to be miserable with life.
Yeah. And that, for me, music has always been a we thing. I've never viewed myself as just a drummer. Right. Even though that's what I do, I want to play with other musicians. That's what I want to do. Yeah. Right. I don't want to just be alone. Music is not singular to me. Even the audience, they are a part of it. The shows that I play, I just see from a different perspective. That's it.
Yeah.
Right. It is a we thing when we are in wherever we're at and wherever we're playing. And that you feed off that, man. Like you just feed off of it. That's why I grew up doing jam band stuff. You know, we just get in a garage and like, okay, what are we doing?
The best, dude. It's the best. You know? Yeah.
You're like, okay, you start.
Still to this day, some of my fondest memories is just garage jamming with my boys in high school.
And I feel like we're getting a little away from that in the music industry. I don't know. What do you guys think?
It depends. I mean, I think like anything, I agree, Brian. Some of my favorite memories in life are doing exactly that. And it's something that I consciously have to not remind myself, but try very hard to maintain because life, not to say life gets in the way, but life gets in the way.
Oh, yeah.
And you really have to consciously keep that door open. I love just going over and jamming with friends.
Yeah.
And it doesn't happen enough.
And I do feel like living in a city where everyone is like doing this professionally and everyone's super busy and they like, I do feel like there's a lack of that.
Yeah. It can be hard because everyone at the end of the day, when you're 9 to 5, air quotes around 9 to 5, is playing music. Mm-hmm. It can be hard when people want to just come together and hang out and like, you know, socialize. Like when you were over at my place the other night, you know, we're all hanging out. The last thing anyone wants to do is like play music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's not a bad thing, but it's just like, that's what your day is.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like there's a lot of growth to be had. The moments where you're just like, hey, let's like just get together and play music for no reason. But like, I feel like I've had moment like, you know, like here I feel like sometimes you'll hit someone up like and it's they don't really want to do it unless like, oh, is there like a gig we're practicing for or you know
and
it's
like music,
who cares, let's just fucking it's harder to get people to come play with you unless there's like a gig or
you know what I mean
where it's like I feel like those moments where you're just playing music for no reason, those are really valuable.
Yeah,
for sure.
There's a lot of, like, when I think of when I've grown the most as a musician, it's usually from that.
Yeah. I think so.
If I, if I had life my way and I had the time, God, it would be nice to have like a weekly jam day.
Oh,
where
yeah.
it's like, you know what? This day.
We could start it.
This day, just everyone come over. We're just going to hang and jam. And for like, you know, yeah, 4 or 5 hours, just like, yeah, I think it'd be fun. It really genuinely would be.
Instead of poker night.
There you go. It would be fun, you know?
Yeah, dude, I would be all down to do that.
You got
to
come out to poker night. We'll get you there.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Well, you guys play.
We do just Texas Hold'em.
Okay,
we do. We're revamping it soon because we were doing like weekly nights,
yeah.
but then like you know, the bench gets kind of So I think what we're gonna start doing is either once a month or twice a month.
Sick.
We'll do like a weekly or we'll do a poker night.
Oh yeah, I'm down.
So, all right, cool. Yeah. We'll throw you on the text stream then.
Throw you on the group chat.
Throw you on the group chat. Yeah, fuck yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, it's a. I kind of miss it. We haven't done it in like a month. I'm like, I do kind of miss it.
Getting the itch. The itch.
I know, look and see. We were talking about it the other night. Well, yeah, I'll look and see.
Next week or something.
Yeah, next week would be fun. Maybe next, I don't know. God, man, oh man. Yeah, it's also nice at this point in life too, I think, we're at an interesting moment in our lives where a lot of people, and I'm sure you probably feel the same way. A lot of people in my life, and you know, this is the time where people are getting married, having kids, that kind of thing.
Oh yeah,
which is beautiful.
Absolutely,
it's really strange going through that time in life as a musician. I think because you've invested so much time up front doing this thing,
mm-hmm.
and it can feel like I don't even know exactly how to phrase it, but. It's just it's a strange point in life to get to when you feel like, oh, like it's just me doing this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a lonely feeling at all, but it's different. It is very different because it is such because you have to sacrifice so much to do this.
It is a sacrifice to be out on the road and
I don't even
tour.
Know if there's a question in there, but like it's an interesting,
it's an
interesting thing that I
sure.
think about a lot, you know,
but I know a lot of people that who are doing it have great family lives.
Oh, for sure.
You know?
Absolutely.
And it sucks when they have to leave for a couple of weeks. And mm-hmm. like, yeah, when you leave your kids and your wife for a couple of weeks, yeah, that sucks. There's nothing like that is like cool about that, really. People understand, mm-hmm. right? And I think it's all about who you marry. Coming from, I'm single, you know, it's just me, but...
Dylan's on the market right now. No,
you know, no, that's not what I'm saying. I know so many people with great relationships mm-hmm. like that. Colton's one of them. You know, him and Annie have twin girls, you know, and they're adorable. And dude, they love them so much. And they understand that daddy goes out, does what he's supposed to. And, you know, we play his shows and all that. And then if they need to come on the road, they'll come on the road or whatever. And he's an artist, so it makes it easier to do that. But I got a lot of friends, you know, who either they're like, I've done the touring thing and I enjoyed it, but it's time for something else. And then there's people like me who are stubborn. And I'm like, man, I just want to do this forever. Like, that's all I want to do.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. You know, And I understand, like, you know, with me right now, yeah, it's easy. But, yeah, there will be a sacrifice to that in the future if that ever happens. But there's also pros to it, man.
Yeah, it's pros and cons to anything.
Like, bro, when you're back home, like, really think about it. So, like, we'll take, like, the Winter Jam tour, right? You did 3 months, and then most people had a month off, most people that I knew, right? They're there for an entire month. Entire month in town, right? Not going 9 to 5 to a job or something. You have all day, you know. And so if the kids are, you know, still young enough, you're there with them all the time. So mm-hmm. that's a pro.
Yeah.
You know? But I think at the end of the day, people make it work or they change, you know, paths. And I don't think that's a bad thing. You know, one of my friends is doing it right now. He's just like, yeah, I'm kind of done with the road, man. And I just want to have a family and do, you know, be the dad, you know? And I'm like, great, do it. You know? For me though, I couldn't, and it's probably because I haven't been in that position, but this is what I love to do. I don't envision myself doing anything else but what I'm doing now. Mm-hmm. Just playing music and bebopping around the country, you know? I love it.
Good combination. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot of fun, man.
Yeah. It's grateful. Again, it's like anything else. I think you make it work. And especially if with being a musician, it's hard, but you just need to find the right person for that. Mm-hmm. And you can make it work.
Absolutely.
It's a little bit of finagling maybe to get there, but
It's interesting.
And like you said, there are pros to it as well. You know, especially if you get to a point in your career where you have a little bit more wiggle room, you know, that's really nice. CMA Fest is happening. You do anything for that or no?
Man, we're out actually. I have a lot of buddies playing CMA Fest, so I'll be out there on Thursday just supporting.
Fuck yeah.
I'm like the fill-in guy in the country world a lot. I used to do a lot of the bus call set, like those 30-minute like little club gigs or showcases for labels I've done. So I've done fill-in work in there. So it's just how it's kind of like lined up, you know, on that. So I would love to do more country. It's not even just country. I just like playing music. So
we'll get you hooked up with some of the country folks out here.
Oh yeah, dude, it'd be fun, bro. Yeah. Like I just like hanging with people and playing good music, man. That's it.
Right? A good recipe right there. You know?
Come on, Chris Stapleton. Come on. That gig, bro. No, his drummer's fantastic, but like stuff like that, working for a songwriter. Yeah, that's the sauce for me.
What is it about particular artists that you like working with? Is it always song first? Is it okay? I really like this person's output. What are you looking for in an artist that you want to work with?
So I kind of put it into two categories. Each artist is going to be different, right? So I put it into there's like artists and then there's songwriters, right? No shade on both sides. Like that's not what I'm getting at here. They just do different things.
Oh, for sure.
I've noticed, right? Songwriters are going to communicate with a band. They're like a little bit more particular on how like tones are and things of that nature, right? Mm-hmm. A little bit more musically inclined and how things feel, right? I'm not saying that artists don't do that, but artists are like a lot of the times, you know, artists are, you know, they have songs that are written for them. Right. Again, no shade. I don't think there's any problem with that. That gives songwriters an outlet who don't want to be on the road, the opportunity to write great music and get in front of people. But artists are a little bit more like, you know, the visuals and the show aspect or
you're selling a brand.
Yeah.
Which I mean, right? That's not a bad thing, but like,
and a lot of the times, you know, you can have both, where you're an artist and you're a songwriter, right? I gravitate more towards the songwriters. Right. Just because, like, you know, the jam bandy kind of thing. Yeah. I feel like it's a little bit more organic, a lot more live on the floor kind of recording, I feel, is happening in that world. So artists and then songwriters. So I gravitate towards the songwriters. As far as, like, I mean, a gig is a gig. It's different, bro. Like everyone is different. There's some wisdom in there.
Yeah, yeah.
I think having Ableton knowledge is huge. That's with either or. Oh, it's an artist or songwriter. And knowing how to do that is a huge advantage. Artists, a lot of times will do like the thing where like they'll throw a song at you like really, really quick. Mm-hmm. Right. And you're like, okay, I got to chart it down and all that. And then, you know, a songwriter's like, here's a chart.
Yeah.
You know, it's already done. Kind of thing, but yeah, I don't know if that answers your question or not. But.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, it's just, I'm always curious as to what it is that draws people to the music that they like to play or that they tend to play most regularly.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I mean, CCM obviously is a God and Jesus factor, you know, in there. Country music, it's, you know, about having a good time and just writing good, honest tunes. You know, it's all over.
Yeah, brother.
And then, you know, you have bro country and all kinds of stuff. There's always going to be that corporate side day.
Favorite stuff that's going on out there right now. So my Instagram is hilarious. Okay. That's like the only social media that I use. And my Instagram has learned that one of the things that I love clicking on is AI country songs.
I've seen some of those.
I send them all to Brian. They are fucking hilarious.
And they're like the same quality as like lot of punk.
And honestly, the fucking hooks are solid.
Blows my mind. AI is with music. That is, in my opinion, it's getting scary.
Not even just with music, but just AI in general.
Graphic design.
I run one of the classes I teach at work is a music technology class. And mm-hmm. this past year, one of the things that I had my group do was we used AI to create a song.
Interesting.
And it's even just like the free shit that's out there that you can just plug into right now. Not even the good stuff.
That's wild.
It is really good, actually. That's like, it's surprisingly good.
Oh, yeah. It's
kind of crazy. Yeah, just AI in general is getting to an interesting.
So how many songs do you think that an artist has released by now AI generated? They may have recorded it?
For sure. My conspiracy that I just completely made up and I have no evidence for is that like the reason that like pop music has gotten more and more and more simple over the years is they were just prepping us for AI music this entire time. Mm.
There you go.
Right? It's the big music.
It's certainly going to make it easy.
So yeah. Then they can just push in the AI music and nobody notices.
Well, I do think
I just made that up.
I do. I do.
I'm
truly
all about conspiracies, bro. Let's go.
I do truly think that that is the future of pop music. Mm. I do truly think that with pop music, what you're going to inevitably have, I cannot see a world where this is not the case. You're going to have artists mm-hmm. who are the brand that these companies are selling mm-hmm. and what they're going to perform is AI music, right? Well,
You won't even have artists.
No. Eventually you'll get there. Eventually you'll get there where there's no artist, but certainly at first, because why would you want to pay, you know, if you're on the other end of that, why would you want to pay songwriters? Why would you not want to, it's like the way I look at it is I look at it like snack foods, right? If you look at the way that companies manufacture pre-packaged just snack foods, right? Yeah. It is all to be the most addicting, addictive. It's all to be the most addictive, just you never want the consumer to be able to put your shit down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you are
sweet tart
money,
ropes.
Exactly.
Sweet tart ropes.
If you are the money behind a major pop artist, why would you not want to be doing the same thing mm-hmm. with the songs that they're performing? Of course you're going to be using AI to create the most catchy, the most addictive, the most hypnotic songs mm-hmm. that you can possibly come up with for your artist to perform.
And also because this type of content will be able to, like, eventually will be able to be generated instantaneously, and these algorithms will get so advanced, like, they will know your listening habits and, like, instantaneously, like, give you a song that is tailored based on what they know you like hearing.
Yeah,
and it's not even just going to be music. It's going to be everything. All entertainment, like all social media, all movies.
And I were just having a similar conversation the other night at my place. This is going to happen, like Brian just said, over all what are now art forms. Film, my thing in life that I love more than like mm-hmm. anything is film. I'm a huge film guy.
Oh, I love movies, bro.
And film is going to be fascinating because I think all art, where this will inevitably lead, is you'll have stuff that's sort of wearing the skin of art that by definition isn't art.
Yeah.
You'll be able to, as a person, you'll be able to put on some kind of device or just plug into some kind of device, whatever it is. You experience this thing where you input what it is you want to see.
Yeah.
And that device, that technology, whatever it is, will be able to present that to you in totality. By definition, there will be no artistry involved, right? There will be artistry from the thing in which mm-hmm. is presenting that to you, right? Mm-hmm. And you could argue that there is artistry in the way in which you prompt that thing, but that's the same thing with, you know, if I ask AI
to
write me a novel,
you don't even have to prompt it.
Well, you can just plug.
Read my thoughts.
The algorithms are going to get so good, they
basically will read your thoughts based on all the data they have from like
flip phone guys. We want flip phone.
I'm thinking about going flip phone.
Let's do it. Let's fucking do it.
Before we get to that point, I kind of want to like
Yeah.
Get out of there before we hit that. I don't know.
Let's do it.
We're definitely in it, the beginning stages of it.
We're already in the Matrix right now anyway. So like, what's it matter? It's all simulation.
I think it's going to happen within less than 10 years.
Oh yeah.
Have you seen the new videos that have came out from like the Google AI? I saw this one video. It's like street interviews. Like you would see on social media, influencers giving street interviews and like having conversations with random people.
Entirely AI.
Wow.
You can tell it's a little weird. Mm-hmm. But
barely.
Interesting. I haven't seen too many.
I'll show it to you after this, but you can barely tell it's not real and it's completely fake. Give it 5 more years and you will not be able to tell the difference between what's real and what's not on the internet. It's gonna be crazy.
What up, Katie?
Yeah.
What's up, Katie?
It's gonna get wild. It's gonna get wild very fast. We'll see.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we're already seeing the impact on sync music, right?
Yeah, for sure.
You know, like commercials. Probably now they're not paying guys to make those riffs. They're just generated by AI, most likely. The one thing, it's just part of the progression of it. You know, people were freaking out as soon as like Pro Tools or whatever. It's like,
it's just tools. Yeah, exactly.
You know, so I believe it is different, because we're getting into the point where that was amazing.
That was hilarious.
We're getting to that point where it's replacing players and artists and songwriters. I don't care if you want to use things as a tool and we have parameters or whatever, but like, think about how many bands that you go see now that don't have a bass player.
Yeah.
I saw AC/DC a couple weeks ago. That was a live band.
I'm sorry. What? No,
dude. It was a live band though. And I remember thinking, I'm like, man, they're kind of, this kind of rushed into the chorus a little bit or there's that. And then you have the whole thought, you're like, wait, these are live players. This is how music is supposed to be. Yeah. We're human. Like, but it was cool seeing that. But then you go to another show and some pop bands don't even have bands anymore.
Oh yeah.
There's no bands. And I understand that like cost of everything is astronomical now for a lot of these artists. And to bring out a band, like to bring out a Michael Jackson size band, right? The cost is bonkers. Like buses are now like double the price as far as renting and all kinds of stuff is just completely inflated.
It's like, why would you feed those mouths if you don't need to feed those mouths?
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, is it necessary? And does it actually, I've heard it said, does it really add value to the show? For me, I am a music purist. I have no problem saying it. I believe that if there is a player that can play that part, they should be on stage. I understand that not every band can do that.
Part of this is strange because I imagine this is like the Industrial Revolution times a million is what's about, like, what is about to happen. I feel like I've like strapped into the, like I've like buckled up because I can see that I'm about to like, you know, hit an oncoming, you know, tractor trailer or whatever, but like nobody else is cognizant because I do really think that what is about to happen very quickly is going to be the equivalent of that times a million. And that there's going to be pros and cons with that, right? Like you're going to, like, obviously the Industrial Revolution displaced so many people and the initial impact of that seemed catastrophic because all of a sudden the workforce is so drastically different.
Yeah.
But what people are good at is people are good at adapting. People are good at, it's really the one thing we do is adapt and people found a way to make that work.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be the same thing. It's just going to be on a much larger scale. And I think that initial impact is going to seem so much greater.
Yeah. I mean, we're only talking about it in the art world.
Yeah.
But like, think of
everything.
All the other shit.
It's everything.
Like, honestly, it kind of scares me to the point where I think there's going to be like a societal collapse.
Like, are we going to think for ourselves? You know, or are we just going to let some robot think for us?
That's what I'm trying to say is like, I'm trying to like get a flip phone and unplug before we hit that point. You know, I don't know if I want to be a part of that.
I find myself being more simplistic nowadays, more so than ever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'm with you. Like, let's simplify everything. I don't need tons of stuff.
But, like,
going
just
in.
Imagine if, you know, in the next 6 years, 90% of all of the jobs go out the window.
Yeah. And then the 10% of jobs that there are, there's a massive influx of people going into those jobs.
I think what's going to happen.
But also,
like,
what
it doesn't, it's not like
I think
good.
It's going to start this way, honestly. I think what is going to happen is that you're going to have AI generated music from bands that you already know, like the Beatles or the Who or whatever. Like,
they'll do a new album, but it's not the Beatles.
If the Beatles were to make another album.
I feel gross even thinking about that.
And they're going to push that. Now, the thing is, people are going to listen to it. Labels, everybody knows that they're going to listen to this kind of stuff.
That's wild.
I think they're going to go down that route, use things that they already know to blend it in. Right. I think music is always going to survive as far as people being players. Maybe it's more niche. I don't know. I'll be the old fart. They're like, dude, that guy actually plays drums, man, instead of on his computer, you know, or whatever. But the passion and the love for music, there's so many people that have it. I don't think it'll get weird.
Yeah.
It will. And I think it'll get maybe bad. But
in all honesty, though, I think art is the segment of life that is the safest from this. I think it's going to be, I think there's going to be massive changes in our relationship that will be different. But I mean, just in basic theory, that is the component of culture that will be the most stable, right? When you have this, you know, next push, whatever it is.
Live art, right? Like the in-person experience you can't replace.
At least
like on a human-to-human level.
Yeah, I mean, and again, like you could do this today. You could prompt ChatGPT to write you a novel about anything, any possible topic you can think of in any possible style you can think of.
Yeah.
That being said, there's still a reason why great novels are great novels, and why we still yearn for the ability of a writer to come up with these beautiful things, right?
Yeah.
That seems relatively secure to me, right? Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be very interesting to see how that goes. What seems less secure to me is everything else in society, right? Like how that interplays with everything that it, 'cause art by definition has to come from a human soul, right? That is what art is our ability. No, I mean, like, I don't know how else you would define art. I mean,
think about how many people just like consume just the most like bland, soulless art there is. And they just don't.
Well, yeah, that's why, like I said,
nobody know. Like a lot of people don't know the difference.
Well, that's why a lot
of people would have no idea what the fuck you're talking
about. Like I said earlier, though, that's why I do see in the not too distant, very soon future.
Yeah.
You are going to have major artists that aren't actually performing music that is created by a human being.
Yeah.
Because it's the Cheetos thing. It's I am interested if I'm the person presenting this massive pop star to the world. Mm-hmm. I'm interested in creating the perfect Cheeto. That is what I'm interested in, right? And it's like why in the world would I not utilize this tool that I have, right?
Well, the perfect Cheeto is a flaming hot Cheeto. So
goddamn right it is.
Yes, it is, and I will fight anybody on that if they don't think so.
Yeah. I think that it will certainly, the, I don't want to call it art, but the entertainment is probably the best way to put the entertainment. Like Marvel movies are a good example of this, right? Like I have no interest in, that's just me. I have no interest in Marvel movies, right? They will be making Marvel equivalent movies that are not actually helmed by a person, right?
They basically exactly
and that stuff will just be out there in the world, and that is what will be mass consumed. And that's fine. And again, like, to me, it's no skin off my back. People are practically already doing that, and that's fine. And I think that there is a place for that in the world, as long as that thing doesn't overstep into the into the world that I do have interest in, which is the stuff that people make. Right? Yeah. As long as people are making stuff and those people will now have more powerful tools to make stuff, great. All of that seems relatively safe to me in the sense that it will work itself out naturally.
Yeah.
It's all of the other stuff in the world that I don't, that isn't safe.
Who knows?
That I think that's going to get crazy, but who knows?
Shit's
we'll see.
Get weird.
We'll see. So maybe flip phones,
it scares me. I try not to think about it. You know?
There you go. Yeah.
Just
there you go.
Keep doing my thing and
just keep swimming. Just
put the blinders on.
I think what's more weird about music now though, while we're like talking like music stuff or AI or whatever, like, what's weird about music, and Rick Beato had a video about this, and I was thinking the same thing, too. I was like, okay, we have all these songs being put out every single day, just even on Spotify, you know, and then all the other platforms. The consumption is so, you can consume new songs every day, and the thing is, like, it's becoming almost, like, genreless. Like, we're not, like... Like, there's not, you know, every decade was kind of like, oh, this is the music of that decade, right? And I don't, like, what is our decade? What is it going to be? Like, we have the early 2000s, right? Okay. But, like, 2010 to now, like, what
I think you
is
get, like,
that era?
Smaller versions of that, like, in specific scenes.
Because there's so many subgenres of everything. Just think of metal alone and how many subgenres there are, which I think is great.
Brian and I have talked about this a lot on the podcast. I really do think that the idea of genre is... is going to slowly dissipate.
I think so too.
And it is directly related to the way in which we consume music. Mm. When everyone in their pocket has the ability to access all of recorded music through all of human history in the last, you know, 180 years, there's not going to be genre in the way that we think about it, right?
Yeah.
There will still be ways in which we can kind of catalog music, right? That'll still be there. But our relationship to at least popular genres,
it's not going to be
the same. And it's going to be very, again, it's going to be a weird thing that happens because so much is happening so quickly with technology right now that it's hard to keep your head on straight.
I can't keep up, bro. I can't keep up with technology anymore. I'm like, how many updates are you going to have me do this week on my phone or whatever? It's like, I don't care anymore.
I don't update any of my shit.
Me either now. Like, and
it's not broke, I don't need to fix it.
I turn
smart.
Those off.
There's wisdom
bro.
In there, Brian.
I need my Ableton.
She updated to a new diversion of DaVinci, which is the video software. And I threw a fit because I had to update it to transfer her session over to my thing. Yep. I'm like, what are we doing here? Like, it's like it was working just fine.
This is what's hilarious about it. The last time I updated my phone, it changed. I have an iPhone, and it changed all of the photo settings, or not settings, but like the interface of the photos. That's was so totally dumb. Different. And I absolutely fucking hated it.
Yeah.
Like, just despise it. And then within like, you know, 2 months or whatever it's been, it's like, okay, I guess I get it. I get what you're doing, but it's like, come on, I don't want to have to relearn this shit
every time, man. Yeah. I turn all those off, bro. Like last time I updated my computer was a chore, dude. I had to go in. Because it was, what was it? It wasn't Catalina. Maybe it was Catalina or whatever. Updated my computer, and then none of my sessions they were all grayed out. And I had the files there and all that. But what happened was by updating the computer, it updated something within iTunes, and there's a certain code in there that would not, it would get in the way with Ableton.
Yeah.
I had to manually go in and look at code and find it. It took me 2 weeks to find, like, on
that's
a Reddit
page. That's so frustrating.
So he's like, hey, yeah, this is what happened to me and all that. And then you delete the code and then you're good.
Well, that's I think especially with Apple in particular, I've heard stuff coming out about them in their new updates. They specifically put stuff that will make your shit not work.
Of course.
Then you have to go buy a new one and you're going to
spend.
Why
do you think everybody's batteries just drain like crazy on phones now?
Yeah.
Bro, I did it a couple weeks ago, actually. You know how you're like cleaning out your stuff, like your life, and you're like, I need to get rid of stuff. And I was like, oh, my old Verizon phone. The chocolate. I put that mother trucker in, dude. Flip it on. It worked perfectly. Like charged well, all that. Because I was like curious what was on it.
That's funny.
But like those older phones, like are way better.
Yeah, they make. They used to make it
to some degree. Yeah, as far as build quality and all that. I think I read something like an iPhone to make it is like it's under $10, right?
Really? I have no idea.
Isn't it?
I have
right? No idea. I could be wrong.
I didn't
on
know that.
That.
I mean, that's wild. The slave labor helps.
It's it's pretty wild.
The sweatshop children.
When you're not paying anyone to mine cobalt, yeah. You know, you're okay.
I mean, and then $10
is a steal. Yeah.
Like this. Like, we're expanding so much with AI and everything, but why do I not have a non-flat tire?
Right.
Yeah.
That's,
you know, that would probably be a little bit more useful.
I think here's what we should do. Technology used to do that is being gate kept by Big Tire,
you know?
Here's what we should do. As a society, we should all decide, okay? Collectively, if we're going to protest. We're going to say, we're not going to update anything until you figure out the fucking tire situation.
Yeah.
Then we'll start updating our phones again. Yeah.
But we focus on weird stuff. Like, what happens if, like, just electricity goes out and it's not even existent anymore? Then AI doesn't matter, right?
It's true.
None of it matters. And then how? Sorry, rabbit holes.
No, this is why I've got the compound. You know?
Like, okay, other civilizations, right? Uh-huh. We, like, Egypt's one of the most well-documented civilizations, and only 30% of Egypt has been excavated, right? Okay, but it's so well-documented. Like, in a couple hundred years, like, what is our documentation? Like, are they, like, you know, if there is no power or anything, how do they know what we, like, you know, like, everything, it's paperless.
Yeah.
Nothing is on paper anymore.
That's true.
So how are they going to know thousands of years from now?
They just gotta hope all the data survives somewhere.
Yeah. And there's probably, like, backups or something of that nature, but it is a weird or an interesting thought.
I truly have this feeling.
Yeah, if there was like another mass, you know, civilization collapse, there would be no record of anything that
of
happened.
Anything.
And,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's kind of wild.
Except
to think
for
about.
Like stuff that you're like, wait, like how in the world did they build that? Like what we look at the pyramids, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, how did they do that? That's impossible.
I truly have this gut feeling that, again, I can back up in no way whatsoever. But I just have this gut feeling, not that we've had cars and, you know, Uber Eats and shit before, but I have this feeling that we've done this before.
Oh,
that people have, again, maybe not have taken the form that it contemporarily takes, obviously, but I have a feeling people have done this before and maybe there's just a threshold that we hit that we can't go beyond. Who knows? There could be a great many reasons
AI
as to why
destroys
it is.
The world and then there's a reset.
It's Terminator,
it's just
bro.
Cyclical.
And
it's just
Elon cyclical. Musk has Skynet, dude. That's what it is. It's called SpaceX, bro. We're living in Terminator days.
Yeah, there you go.
And it happens when Arnold Schwarzenegger passes on and turns into the Terminator through AI. Yeah, that's going to be wild, bro.
Goddamn. Oh my god,
dude! Sorry, I could go down rabbit hole
dude,
after
same,
rabbit hole.
Same. Yeah, I don't know. I have this feeling that people have done this before.
I think so.
It's just a gut. It's
some life form somewhere has.
Yeah. Anyway, what's next? What's next on the agenda? What do you got?
Man, just got back this morning from a run. We got one show next week and all that, but festival season's upon us, fly dates and all kinds of stuff.
Love it.
Then fall tour, which I won't announce with the dates or who with, because I don't know if management would kick my ass for saying that. But yeah, fall. Most bands are doing spring and fall tour, so, but fall tour. Just doing that, working on my drum books. I've been trying to publish drum books, and then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do it myself. So, you know, big businessman Dylan over here.
Love
putting
it.
On his big boy pants. Working on trying to do get a website designed and do, like, online lessons and have, like, lesson catalogs and all kinds of stuff just to help out. Because I don't teach anymore, but I really do love teaching. I just needed a break from it just because it was working 7 days a week was not working out. And I want to be able to give my all to students and all that. So I feel like this is a really good way of doing that. So just getting that up and running. And whenever it happens, it happens. I'm not in any rush. I want to make sure I do it right. But yeah, that, you know, golfing with y'all at some
beautiful
point.
Let's do
know,
it. Let's make it poker happen. That'd be fun.
You know? I think I'm going to book a tea time Tuesday if you want to come.
Oh, okay. Okay. Where at?
I don't know.
We'll see. We'll talk. We'll talk about
my people. My people will talk with your people.
There you go. Perfect. Yeah. Let's. We'll make something happen. Dude, I'm stoked you did this, man. This was fucking. This was
fun.
This was fun to hang. I haven't seen you in forever, so it was fun to hang.
Yeah, man.
Oh yeah.
Good time.
Fuck yeah. It was great.